Orsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Orsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Saving, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Orsman story.
Orsman Fairfax Toyota. Let's ride together.
On the football field, the action happens in the blink of an eye. It's like that off the field, too, when you've been injured. In a split second, your life is changed. Whether on the field or in the courtroom, when you've been injured, you need the right teammates by your side. You need Chase & Boscolo, a law firm willing to protect and fight for your rights. On the football field or in the courtroom, having the right team determines whether you win or lose. When injuries change your life, call Chase & Boscolo, trial lawyers that care.
What's up, everybody? JP Finley here. Redskins Talk the podcast. We are going now. Rich Tandler, what's up, dude?
Doing great.
Busy day in for Redskins fans, but it's actually not that busy. Wednesday, February 15th, marks the beginning of when NFL teams can place the franchise exclusive, non-exclusive, or the transition tag on their players. It opened. There's a 2-week window, so as much as there is this kind of sense of anticipation around today, it's also possible nothing happens until March 1st at 3:45 with the 4 o'clock deadline.
Yeah, I said in a post I put up on CSNMidAtlantic.com today, the window's open, but nobody's going through it.
Well, I think somebody's going through it, just not today.
Right. Yeah, not today.
So, what do we think is going to happen here? I've kind of gone back and forth with this a bunch. I think he is going to get tagged, and I don't know that they're getting this long-term deal done. I really don't. I just from conversations and reading tea leaves, I think it's almost at a worse spot, but I still think there are bridges to gap.
Okay, although I agree with your conclusion, just let me throw out a couple of things on the other side. You know, Bruce Allen went on a little media tour, which included you at the Senior Bowl, a mini media tour, I guess, you know, saying that they want to get this done. It's not going to be real difficult to get it done. And, you know, he's setting himself up there if it doesn't get done. For a real, to really take a lot of the blame from the fan base and everybody else. He's the one saying it's going to get done. And then the other thing is, and the way these things work, and March 1st is kind of a soft deadline, but it's like you hear nothing. You know, you hear a little report here and there. They're talking, but you know they're not close. So on and so forth, and then boom, a deal happens. You know, the darkest hour is always just before dawn. Just when it looks like there's no chance of getting something done, it gets done. You know, that's just pointing out the other side. I think that's the less likely side of it.
Taylor, did you just quote a Florence and the Machine song?
Which what? Oh, darkest hour before dawn?
Yeah.
No, that's a lot older than I don't even know who you're talking about.
That's just like an old saying, I'm guessing.
That was I think that was in a Crosby, Stills, Nash song too, but it's an old adage.
All right. Well, Florence and the Machine made that a song also, but a quick Google search leads me to find that was first said in a Thomas Fuller travelogue from 1650. So I don't think Florence or Crosby, Stills, and Nash.
Crosby, Stills, and Nash were around it.
No. I mean, you're right. Bruce has said that, but they also were fairly optimistic this time last year, right?
No, I'll tell you what. Bruce wasn't out talking about it. You know, we kind of had a tight-lipped Jay Gruden. I remember at the combine, you know, saying, yeah, you know, kind of along the lines of we're working on it. yada, yada, yada. And Scott was pretty much, Scott was a little bit more positive about it. But, you know, he also turned around at the same time, said, hey, we got to take care, you know, got to make sure there's enough to pay the whole team, yada, yada, yada. You know, Bruce didn't bring up any yeah buts. He said, we've got to get this done. Just again, doesn't mean it will get done, but he does, you know, when his credibility, which, you know, you can say what you will about it, if you want to say what he has left of it, is on the line, you know, I think that makes me think there might be a big, big push to get this done, and it could be successful.
Agreed. So let's address kind of I guess it's the elephant in the room a little bit. Let's start with what we know happened, right? At the Senior Bowl, Scott McLuhan told me and other reporters he wasn't going to talk because Bruce told him not to. We know that that occurred. From that, a lot of reporting or a lot of speculation and probably some reporting. I haven't read everything that everybody's written about the situation. Has turned into this, you know, you see words like dysfunction and jealousy between the two guys. I'll go on record and I don't think there's a jealousy situation there. I think seeing those two guys interact and conversations I've had with others surrounding the team, Bruce Allen's one of the most confident men I've ever encountered in my life. I doubt he's jealous of Scott McLuhan. I don't know if others are reporting that. I'm not saying anybody's wrong, but that's just my take on the situation. But that is like this new layer of intrigue to the Cousins Redskins situation, don't you think?
Yeah,
I know you wanted to talk about that.
Who knows? You know why these things are done, whether it's a one voice kind of thing or what the, you know, especially in this Cousins negotiation. You know, Scott can, you know, Bruce is going to be very carefully measured in his words as a person who is involved in the contract negotiation should be. I'm not sure Scott is always quite that measured. And, you know, perhaps there's concern he'll say something that would throw things off. Who knows? That's sheer speculation on my part. But, you know, as far as being on Scott McLuhan, and I tweeted, you know, it was kind of a teaser tweet to an article a couple of days ago, but, you know, said the heat is on McLuhan, and that got a lot of pushback from fans. And, you know, the heat is on Scott McLuhan. He's got an important job to do. You know, last year was not his greatest year as a general manager. There's no question about it. The draft, a lot of question marks. It may turn out to be okay. Its ceiling seems to be an okay draft. Stephen Pyatt gone, Kendall Reyes gone, few others, David Bruton, you know, a lot of dead money, you know, not tons, but a good amount of dead money that has been cost, but more importantly, positions that in the spring everybody thought were filled, were not filled. The defensive line and safety end up being the weaknesses of the defense. But, you know, the heat is on you, JP, and it's not as big a stage or as big a level, but, you know, after a Redskins game, the heat is on you to find players, get them to come up to the podium and talk on the post-game show. The heat's on me to, you know, make 3 or 4 or 5 interesting posts to put up after a game. So, but that doesn't mean I'm going to get fired if all my posts aren't great. Doesn't mean that you're going to get fired if, you know, you can't get Josh Norman to talk every week. So, you know,
God, I hope not.
You know, people take that and take it way to another level, like he's on the verge of getting fired. He's not.
Yeah, I think that's a really good distinction because I think, you know, I've been asked about this, excuse me, on the radio, and I'm sure you have too. And it's like, you know, is there tension? Is there pressure? And yeah, there probably is tension and pressure. Because those guys are pissed off they didn't make the playoffs. And truthfully, they collapsed down the stretch. I mean, the loss to the Panthers was the worst of the season. And then it only got worse when they lost to the Giants at home. So they should be mad and upset with one another and holding each other accountable.
Exactly. So, you know, it just, you know, nobody is getting fired at this point.
Well, and I'm with you. I think you and I agree. I think rightfully so, a lot of fans are still so gun shy or whatever the word is. They're so concerned about the way this organization was run at various stages over the last 20 years when ownership got too involved. There was weak management in place. I mean, you think to the Vinny Serrato days and just what a zoo everything was.
Right.
And I think folks just have this like gut reaction, like, oh no, it's going back to that level. And I think, take a step back. I don't think that's what's happening. Even if the Skins franchise Kirk, which I think is going to happen, I still don't think that's what's happening here. I think fans don't want to admit it, but you talk to personnel guys around the league, and there are questions about Kirk Cousins' ability to be a long-term quarterback. I think part of me is starting to think more and more, if the Skins do not bring back Deshaun or Pierre, the organization wants to see what Kirk can do without a receiver that takes the top off the defense and another guy that catches.
Don't call him a possession guy.
I'm not.
He might be listening. He'll get mad.
But he catches just about every ball you throw at him, and he's somebody you can depend on for tough catches over the middle. There's not a lot of receivers you can depend on for that. So, and this is the other thing. So Kirk's statistics in 2016, the only real gaudy stuff was the yardage total, and his completion percentage was really high.
Definitely low, but 2 points down from the previous year.
Right, and so, and I'm not knocking Kirk at all, but the guy threw for 4,900 yards. That's impressive. But the touchdowns weren't there. The interceptions were a little higher, nothing outrageous. But you take Pierre and Deshaun out of that, that's 2,000 yards. Now, it's not to suggest that Doxson and whoever would potentially replace those guys can't, you know, they're going to produce as well. So maybe they put up 1,400 yards, something like that. And, you know, maybe you get more out of Reed, you get more out of Crowder, who knows? The ball will still get thrown a lot. But it's interesting to me. People love to talk about what Kirk did statistically, but breaking Redskins passing records, I mean, you know this better than me. The greatest Redskins passer of all time is probably Sonny Jurgensen, right?
Right.
And he played in an era where you just weren't throwing the ball nearly as much at all, and it was less games. So it's like breaking Redskins passing records is cool, and it's an accomplishment, but it's not like, you know, last year putting up 4,100 yards should not have been celebrated as this, like, man, what a record-breaking season. 4,900.
Yeah, it's not a record that is a mark of greatness. I'll put it that way.
Right. Now, 4,900, I mean, you're flirting with 5,000 yards. That's impressive. But you look at some of the games where they pile up yardage, and it's a little bit hollow in spots. Not all the time, but in spots.
Yeah. You know, no question. But, you know, you get to the butt, of course, the big other side of the coin is, who do you get that's better?
Yeah.
You know, who can you get that is, yes, going to be that transcendent quarterback? And, you know, I can see the line of reasoning. If you sign Kirk, you know, he's definitely around for, you know, at least three. And I don't think Mike McCarthy would agree to anything that would keep him around for fewer than, say, four or five, you know, at least four years. So, you know, you're paying him all that money. And if he's not the guy, that's preventing you from getting the guy.
Yeah, I mean, it's the other thing that I think is really worth pointing out with Kirk. There's a few things. And you and I have been doing this series, which has been pretty fun, I'll add, the off-season questions we've been doing.
Yeah.
And I feel like it's just kind of our inherent nature to bicker with one another. But I feel like we mostly agree on those things.
Yes.
But it's more fun to still take shots at one another. But
yeah.
That said,
you can agree and still take shots. That's the best part.
Right. So we have one coming up and I don't know if we've scheduled this one out yet or if it's just in the can, but I suggested one. Can this team still trust Dustin Hopkins, the kicker? And I'm going to go ahead and give away my stance on this, that I think they absolutely should. And here's why. In that they've chased off so many other young, good kickers that go on to have good careers elsewhere. And Hopkins has a huge leg, showed the first half of the season that he can make kicks. And repeatedly, time and time again, he made kicks. Now, he got into a slump. I don't know enough about kicking, if it's fundamentals or something was in his head or what. But I think you stick with him and let him show you that he can be the guy. So the reason I tell that is because I think with Kirk, he only has 2 years in the books. I mean, now granted, he's not like a rookie having, it's not like a guy in his second year having 2 years because, you know, those first 3 years he played, he got opportunities. Honestly, he had an opportunity, I would say, late in the 2013 season when the Shanahans benched RG3, and Kirk did not seize on that opportunity. He had an awful game, if you remember, late in the year in New York when it was raining. It was miserable.
Yeah, but they had him pass 50-some times, I think, which was ridiculous. But I think they just wanted to see what he could do in those conditions. But yeah, but the difference of waiting, you know, they don't have to sign Dustin Hopkins to a 4-year, $100 million deal,
right.
To find out if he can, you know, make the slump. If he misses 3 or 4 in a row next year, you know, you cut him, you find a new guy, and you're done. If Cousins, you know, is either plateaus or declines, you're stuck with him.
Yeah, I mean, I guess where I was going with the Dustin Hopkins comparison is that Kirk can still get better. And I think that's a possibility. I don't know, but, you know, I feel like this conversation is just a constant, not contradiction, but there's just, you know, what Charlie Casserly told me at the Senior Bowl was, this one's really difficult. And it really is, because every time you want to say, you know, Kirk threw for 4,900 yards and could be even better, you think he... I don't think he was better this season than he was in 2015. I think what he did the last 7 games of 2015, he never really touched this year outside of maybe the Packers game.
Yeah, that's kind of the you know, his what he hangs his hat on. Okay, but let me ask. This is the real question, and I just thought of it. If you take 2016 Kirk Cousins, he produces pretty much the same numbers. Give the Redskins an average to slightly better than average defense, in all ways, in yards and especially takeaways, things like that. Not great, but average to a little bit better than average. Can the Redskins win a Super Bowl? Can they go deep in the playoffs / win a Super Bowl?
Super Bowl? I don't know, man. I don't know.
Then why
win a playoff game? I mean, because here's the thing, you and I have had this conversation a bunch. I keep going back to the Panthers loss and the Giants loss, because that's when everything was on the table and you're playing at home. And neither of those losses were on the defense. I know that the defense didn't play well a lot of this season, but, I mean, they scored 25 combined points in those two games at home.
Again, okay, but I get that. But if the defense had played better earlier in the year, then those would, you know, hypothetically might not have been important games.
I mean, you and I think the only two, I don't know. We're getting into a weird area here, but to me, the two.
No, I don't think it is, because I think it's the question. If Kirk Cousins can't lead you deep in the playoffs, and, you know, there's an element of luck getting to the Super Bowl, things like that, but if he can't lead you at least into the NFC Championship game, why bother?
Yeah, I'm taking notes on you saying this, because we might have to blog this part. It's a good question.
I like Kirk. But I'm not as sure as you are of what the answer is. I haven't really, like I said, that just occurred to me as we were talking. which is what makes this podcast great. We just go off on tangents that, that the hosts think of. I think it's a legitimate question, and I think it is the question.
All right, I'm going to give you a minute to think about your answer to that question, because, I mean, seeing the level of play in the Super Bowl, I think we have not seen that in a really important game from Kirk yet. That's not to suggest he can't get there. I mean, there were times where Matt Ryan certainly looked like he was not a Super Bowl caliber quarterback, but everything came together this season. I said this last year that I thought Kirk Cousins' ceiling was Matt Ryan. I thought he could be that good. He can move around a little bit in the pocket like Ryan. Probably has maybe a stronger arm. He's got a big arm. If you look at their seasons this year, they were pretty close, although Ryan had a lot more touchdowns. But let me do this. Looking through the Redskins' losses, the games that I put squarely on the defense, I'm going to say that opening loss to the Steelers, the Thanksgiving loss to the Cowboys, losing in Arizona was a bad loss. But outside of those, I mean, when they went on that four-game win streak, you and I kept writing about how, hey, this defense is shutting teams down in the second half of games. I mean, that happened. The tie in Cincinnati, maybe you'd like to think that the Redskins defense could get a few more stops and they win that thing. But a lot of their losses, the last two, the offense just did not show up.
Yeah, no doubt.
All right.
But it's tiny. In Dallas, the offense showed up and the defense didn't, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, in Cincinnati, the offense was good. They didn't put up enough points, but still 27 should be enough to beat a media average offense like the Bengals.
Yeah. Well, and that one you can point directly to the Hopkins kick, I think. You make that kick, it's an entirely different season.
Yeah, but then it didn't have to go into overtime either.
Yeah. All right. You got some time. I've rambled. Answer your question.
I'd lean towards yes, but I think it would have to be more like a very good defense. Not Broncos of 2015 or anything like that, but very good. So. Yeah, but see, I don't know. You can't think of a game that he's won. And again, I hate talking quarterback wins. That's just easier than saying that the Redskins have won with him at quarterback. It is similar to even winning a divisional round game to get to the NFC Championship game. I mean, you know, there have been chances. The game in Dallas on Thanksgiving, perfect chance to show off what you can do. Going back to last year, the Panthers, the Patriots, you know, those road games they lost so badly was just a chance to really show what you can do. So it's hard to say. You know, it's easy to look at the numbers and say, yeah, I think those would work on a Super Bowl team with a decent defense, but then you just look at what happens situationally, you know, in a one game series, and you have to wonder. So I've talked myself back into probably not.
You know, you started it probably, right?
Yeah, I know, but it's like I said, this is a new. I like to get things down on paper and kind of think things through a little more. So, and if I write a post about it, I could change my mind again. But it's just, you know, looking at those opportunities and them just, you know, just not quite getting it done.
Taylor, do you still write things down on paper?
Something. Numbers I'll write down on paper just because it's easier. Instead of opening up a new Excel spreadsheet, which I'll do if I have a lot of numbers. But if I have a few numbers I want to work with, comparative things, I got a notepad by my computer.
This will not surprise you at all, and I may be revealing like a lie on my resume at this stage of my career. I have zero idea how to work Excel.
Really?
Like, my wife gets so frustrated at when she sees me using the calculator on my phone to do, you know, if I'm, like, counting up the electric bill for the year or whatever that whatever it may be, and she's just like, oh, my gosh, how are you this dumb?
that should be a career killer, JP. I don't know. Let's hope Wargo doesn't get wind of this.
I write about football blogs. You think Excel is a necessity?
It's yeah. I don't know if you're gonna talk about numbers.
I leave the number crunching to you. I'll confess to our listeners that often I will. So Chandler and I communicate pretty regularly. I mean, I probably talk to you more than I talk to most of my like friends from college or something, and. So we usually are on Slack, and then we text a fair amount, email a fair amount. And whenever I have, like, numbers questions, I almost always ask for your confirmation.
That's good. It's good to be of use.
You know what else happened at my house this week, which I really appreciated? Monday night, so I guess that was the 13th, right? My wife turned to me, and this was, like, 6:30, 7-ish. We were getting ready to put the baby down. And she's like, gosh, I miss Monday night football.
Good.
At least the Wiz and the Caps are doing well, because February can really be a drag.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean,
either one of those teams, but I follow them.
You're just waiting for pitchers and catchers, huh?
Yeah, to an extent. Or the playoffs. I'll start paying attention if the Wiz and the Caps are in the playoffs.
What about Nat's closer situation? Have you worried?
Not really. I think they have enough arms to find somebody. Yeah. I trust maybe, you know, maybe that's always the fatal flaw, but I trust Rizzo and Dusty Baker to figure something out.
So the guy that is completely dismissive of Colt McCoy perhaps having a breakout year if he's asked to be a starter somehow believes in a couple of dudes in the back of the Nats bullpen that have never been good enough to be closers.
I think being a closer is overrated. I think a lot of pitchers can do it.
I'm with you. Here's my caveat. I think a lot of pitchers can be closers in the regular season. I think to go deep in October, you need a really good closer. I think the last 5 years have shown that more than anything.
Okay.
You disagree?
Yeah, but Colt McCoy, no. Real quick on that, because somebody asked me about that on the radio, I think, or something. But, you know, yes, you can, you know, Colt McCoy 8 times less than Kirk Cousins, costing 8 times less. But he doesn't even, you know, it's not just a matter of who's X times better than who. Excuse me. It's meeting that threshold where you can bring a team to the playoffs or to the doorstep of the playoffs. I think Kirk has demonstrated that he can. I don't think McCoy can.
We're not going to have this argument again. Colt McCoy is 2017's. We argue about Colt McCoy in 2017 like we argued about Rob Kelly in 2016.
No. Okay. Right. I thought you were saying Colt McCoy could be this year's Rob Kelly.
No, I'm saying you were very dismissive of Rob in 2016.
Yeah, and okay, but I tell you what, there is a much longer track record on Colt McCoy in the NFL than there was on Rob Kelly.
Fair. All right, I got a good question on Twitter that I wanted to ask you. From Jason Kerr, whose Twitter handle is DownWitDC. Question for the podcast. Should the Skins sign Kirk and Garcon, franchise tag DeSean Jackson, and that would allow the young wide receivers to produce? So, Jason, the answer here is no, but I'm going to let Tandler explain.
Yeah, I believe, I don't have the number in front of me. Wide receiver tag amount is $15 to $16 million. That's way too much for DeSean Jackson. So there would be a cap killer. The answer is no.
Yeah. What? Right. And I think you and I talked about this a while back that I think Deshaun and Pierre are going to get paid, which is why I don't think either of them end up here. I kind of like total speculation. This is I'm not reporting this. I kind of like Pierre going out to the Rams and playing with Sean McVay or to the Niners, frankly, and going to Kyle. I think those are guys that know him. I mean, how many passes did Pierre catch in 2013?
In 113.
In Kyle's offense? I mean, jeez. So I think both of those guys are going to get paid. And I think you're looking at Josh Doctson and a fill-in wide receiver and a lot more balls going to Crowder and hopefully a healthy Jordan Reed.
Yeah, that seems to be the way it's heading. But, and I think the money certainly will play into it. Obviously, it always does. I don't think they want to get rid of either of those guys just for the sake of getting rid of.
All right, I'm going to do
it. It's like I said, it's like just like with Cousins, you hear nothing, you hear nothing, and then who knows, a deal could get done.
Sure. Yeah, I certainly think a deal could get done. Another Twitter question that the answer is no to, at 904 Blaze, Skins fan 32246. Would the Skins be interested in Victor Cruz at all? And the answer is no.
No, I don't think so. The injury history is definitely something. You need a guy you can count on, especially if you have to replace both of those guys. And although anybody could get injured at any time, I don't see them see Victor Cruz being the guy.
Well, not to mention, Victor Cruz has been at his best in the slot. Now, granted, it was 5-7 years ago or whatever. I think Crowder's already a top 5 slot receiver in the NFL and could get a lot better. So I just don't think it's a fit. Yep. The kind of fit I would see would be a guy like Anquan Boldin or something. Somebody you get on a 1-year deal, who can catch a ton of passes for you, won't cost you a lot. I'm not him specifically, but somebody in of that situation.
Let your third or fourth round draft give your third or fourth round guy a year to develop.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it also could mean a lot of snaps for Ryan Grant, Maurice Harris. I mean, there could be some development guys there. I'm gonna keep just running through some Twitter questions because I think this is kind of fun. Redskins Recon wants to know if we can get Joe Gibbs for the podcast. So, Redskins Recon, I hope so. I'll work on it.
I don't have an inside connection with the guy.
I tell you what, Taylor, I wanted to ask you about this, too. Terrell Owens not making the Hall of Fame. Where did you land on that?
I don't like the guy. I think he's a jerk, but you can't argue with the numbers and he is talking about teammates and things like that. Michael Irvin stabbed a teammate in the neck with a pair of scissors. Oh. He managed to get into the Hall of Fame. Owens has better numbers, everything you want in a Hall of Fame wide receiver. So to keep him out because of, alleged disruption, teams couldn't wait to get rid of him, which I think is a myth that Florio has debunked pretty convincingly on Pro Football Talk. It's ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. So is Barry Bonds. That's ridiculous. Terrell Owens is a Hall of Famer. If you watched him, you know it. It's that simple. I wish Joe Jacoby got in. It looks like he's not going to now, or at least not until he gets to a Veterans Committee situation. But T.O.'s got to be in there. That's just makes no sense.
And real quick, I know we're running late on time. Just on the Hall of Fame, they need to do something about that process. Either keep the committee and make it open, or do what baseball does: take 10-year members of the Pro Football Writers of America, give them all a ballot, and then a couple of weeks after the vote's announced, make them all public.
Yeah, I think at least, even if you're just going to keep the guys you have, make it a public ballot.
And if you have, if you have to get in the room and debate and be educated, you're not doing your homework.
Right.
If some guy, if we need, some guy to go sell Joe Jacoby, either he's a Hall of Famer or he's not. Why should the quality of a presentation matter? Do right. your homework, fill out your ballot, be done with it.
Right. Just because some guy can't use Excel doesn't mean it should impact the player.
Exactly. You couldn't have said it any better.
Taylor, anything you want to plug?
Actually, Facebook page is doing well.
You finally changed it to my suggestion, and now it's taken
Facebook.
Off.
Facebook.com/RichTandlerCSN.
So do I get a little credit for that? Because I've been bugging you to do that for a year? Because I suggested that like a year ago.
Oh, changing the name?
Yeah.
It was doing well before I changed the name.
But it's spiking now.
It's doing well, and it has done well.
I think you...
It was okay. It wasn't a bad suggestion.
All right. You know what? From
Your suggestion didn't totally suck. How's that?
That's as close to a compliment as I get from you in a while, so I'm going to take it and run. All right. Check out Tandler's Facebook page. Check out my Facebook page, facebook.com/JPFinleyCSN. Also, I think this week, or at least within the last week, CSN has launched Caps and Wizards-specific podcasts, so check those out. I think it's called Wizards Tip-Off and Caps Face-Off. Is that right, Tandler? Do you know?
I don't know, but, you know, go help them out. They got a lot of catching up to do to catch up with us.
Woo! Shots fired. I like it. All right. Thank you, RT. We will talk soon. I tell you what, let's commit to our listeners this. If when Cousins breaks, you and I do a podcast within 12 hours.
Oh, okay. Yep.
I think we can do that. And you'll hear from us before Cousins news breaks because I think it'll be 2 weeks. You agree?
No doubt.
Yep. All right. Thank you, Rich. Folks, thank you for listening to another episode of Redskins Talk. We really enjoy you guys listening. We appreciate it. We know that you guys are listening and keep asking us questions on Twitter. You can ask me at JPFinleyCSN or ask Tandler at Rich_TandlerCSN. And we're going to try to answer more of these questions as we go, especially in the off season where we've got more time to talk. This has been a lot of fun. Stay tuned. I'm hoping we have some players lined up, maybe a coach. It's been a lot of fun. Thank you very much.
I owe you a beer.
What Makes You Smile is brought to you by Dominion National. For anyone that needs dental and vision benefits, I have a one-stop shop for you. TeethKeeperSave.com. TeethKeeperSave.com offers dental and vision benefits for everyone with plans starting under $7 a month. Don't have benefits through your employer? Are you self-employed and need dental and vision benefits? TeethKeeperSave.com has various plans for individuals to choose from. Visit TeethKeeperSave.com today and enroll in minutes.
Oarsman opened its first car dealership in 1921. Now, over 100 years and many dealerships later, Oarsman of Virginia can proudly say that when it comes to your car buying needs, if you want it, we've got it. Savings, selection, and service? Check. Lifetime engine guarantees and car washes? Check. Loaner cars and free Virginia inspections? Check and check. See, over the past 100 years, we've learned that to succeed in business, we've got to keep our customers happy. And that's the Oarsman story.
Oarsman Ford Lincoln. Let's ride together.